Good afternoon, Dee.
Hi.
Today is October 23rd, 2021, and we're here in Forest Park in Clayton County in Metro Atlanta in Georgia. My name is Dan Inger, and I have the pleasure of being here today with you, Dee. I'm grateful to you for taking time to talk, and I'm looking forward to hearing your story and to learning from you. My first question for you is a really big one, namely, please tell the story of your life from the time you were a small child up to the present day.
Well, I was born here in Atlanta at Crawford Long Hospital. And when my parents brought me home from the hospital, I lived in Clayton County in Jonesboro, which is not too far from where we are right now. And we lived there for several years, and then my dad decided he wanted some land because he grew up as a farmer. And he didn't want to be cramped in the city and be, you know, have a small place. He wanted some land where he could farm. And we moved down to Spalding County, and the closest city was Griffin, Georgia. But it was about a 12-mile drive from where we lived into the city to go get groceries and do all of our shopping and everything, because we lived out on a dirt road and we had well water, and it was really country, and most of our neighbors were far away. But I liked that kind of life. It was fun growing up that way. And then when I was a teenager, my dad decided to change gears again, and he wanted to move closer to the city because he drove a truck for a living, and all that driving all day long on his job and then having to drive all the way back from the terminal back to where we lived in Griffin was taking a big toll on him. And plus, gas prices were a lot higher. This was late 70s when things were kind of rough with gas prices, and so he decided we'd move closer in, and he had a house built in Clayton County. So I started my life in Clayton County, and then as a teenager I came back to Clayton County, and I graduated from Riverdale High School with the fourth graduating class of that school. It was a brand new school, pretty much, and I had a new junior high school that I went to as well. Good living. My family's middle class. We didn't know any poverty. My dad always made good money because he was a trucker. And early on, my mother worked when she was pregnant with me, but after I was born, she stopped working, and my dad made enough living that wasn't necessary for her to work. And then I had a younger brother, so she stayed home and took care of us, and my dad worked. But that was the norm. In the time at my age, you know, nowadays that sounds crazy, but as old as I am, that's what people did back then. And so we enjoyed life in Clayton County once again when I was a teenager, and I got to see the beginning of South Lake Mall when it opened 45 years ago, and that makes me feel really old now, but I shopped there a lot as a teenager, because all teenage girls, you know, we knew every store at the mall and where everything was, and how to get the bargains and all that stuff, and how to get the boys to look at us. That's where we cruised. But I graduated from Riverdale High School, and then I went on to Clayton State College, which back at that point it was still a junior college, and went to work and pretty much, you know, made my living and had a decent life. But what landed me here as far as being homeless is because I was kind of in a bad situation and didn't have good transportation, and I had a child, and so I was, you know, I'm skipping over a lot of stuff, but I don't really think that that part's relevant, but I had a child and late in life, and I wanted the best for this child because I got a good education. At the time I was in school, Clayton County was number two in the state, and DeKalb County was number one. And now both of them are kind of in the toilet, but they were good schools back then. And we had great teachers, and I'm still in touch with a lot of my former teachers who've, you know, been retired for years, of course, because I'm almost retirement age myself. But it's nice to be able to talk to your old teachers, because we bonded and had a good relationship. And they really, really cared about all of us and wanted us to have a good education. So I felt that way about my child. I wanted to give him a decent education. And as far as the year he was born, there were the decent schools had all disappeared in the metro area except for Fayette County, and that's why we moved to Fayette County for the schools. And he got a really good education, ended up going to McIntosh High School. But now I homeschool him. He's not quite finished, but I'm not in a place where I can put him in a public school because of all the red tape and moving around a lot and not having an address, and it's just a hassle. When you're homeless, it's just a hassle. And then you got to have all this ID and crazy stuff and test, like, you know, it's just impossible to do. So got online and filled out the forms and said, I'm homeschooling, and that's that. And that's what we're doing. And I'm trying to get him to graduate early so he, because he has ideas, he wants to go into computer stuff. And he's graphic design and things like that. He's all interested in video games, and that's his thing. I don't know the first thing about it, but I'm willing to help him get where he wants to be. And I had the background. I had advanced classes when I was in school, so, and I also went to college, so I can do that and teach him and feel like I'm doing a good job of it. But anyway, I lost my train of thought. Where was I? I said I grew up in Clayton County. Oh, about my homelessness in Peachtree City. That's where I was. I worked in a restaurant and had a small apartment and was not getting enough hours really to have any extra left over. Was just barely paying the bills, and sometimes I couldn't even do that. And then COVID hit. And since I worked in the dining area of a restaurant, they couldn't keep it open. The rules said no dine in, so everything had to close and we had to go all drive through. And so my boss was trying to work with me to let me do some things inside for the drive through, but that just really wasn't my cup of tea. And I was struggling with it, and I didn't have good transportation, so it was hard to find another job too. And then everybody else was dealing with COVID, so there were no jobs. And I ended up just losing so much money that I couldn't pay my rent anymore, and things just kept falling behind. And finally I got an eviction notice telling me that they were going to kick me out because I hadn't paid my rent. And that was that. So I ended up trying to contact a few friends that I knew, and the counselor from my son's school was able to help me get into a shelter. And that's where it all started. But we have gone from shelter to shelter. There's not that many. And my son is trans. He was born female and identifies as male. So that's an extra hardship, because a lot of these shelters are religious based and you have to believe the way they do or they won't let you in. And then they have age restrictions and they don't want to keep families together. I've been told several times, well, if you were a single female, we could find you a spot. But because I have my son, they don't want to help me. And we want to stay together because we're all each other has. His father doesn't have anything to do with him and hates him because of his transgender issue. And his father and I weren't ever married either, so that presents another problem. And his father's not from this country, so he's not a legal citizen either. And so we just have a lot of issues with that. But, you know, we live in a abandoned building, and we've been told that in the city that we live in that they don't care for homeless people there at all. They want them to move on, move out of the city, get away. They don't want to see them, don't want to hear them. And, you know, of course, that city has other crimes, but they want to persecute the homeless people, and they want to make that a crime, which is not a crime to be poor. And sometimes people can't help that they don't have money to afford things and they can't get a job. And it's harder. Like in my situation, I'm older. And once you pass even 40, it's tough. And when you get past 50, forget it. You know, it's just really, nobody wants to hire you anymore. They want somebody 25. And that's just, I've knocked on a lot of doors, but I have medical issues now that even prevent me from doing a lot of things. But I'm just trying to survive. I'm staying with my son, and we do what we have to do to get by. And we're making it so far. But I wish that there was some place that we could go, because in Clayton County there was only one place that would take us, and they kept us for 3 weeks because that's their policy. They only allow you to stay 3 weeks and you have to go no matter what. And also the way it was with COVID, they kicked you out at like 6 o'clock in the morning and gave you a bus pass for like a one-way trip, and that was it. And you had to figure out what to do with your day and how to get back, and that was rough for me. I wasn't used to all that because I had a middle-class life at one point, and I had to learn how to be poor, and I had to learn how to get around town on MARTA because I've always had my own car and could drive, and it's all different when you got to take a bus and a train. So, and this, I've been homeless since August of 2020. So it's been a little over a year. And I've gone through a few shelters and just nowhere to stay and nothing permanent. And, you know, you stay your allotted time there and then they want you to move on. And, you know, they don't really offer you any assistance about how to get to the next place. They're like, well, you pack up your bags, you have to go, you have to be out by whatever time it is. And that's that. And so, I don't know if I should get into it here, but one of the problems of being homeless is that you don't have internet, you don't have electricity, you can't charge your phone, can't even talk to people, you don't have an address, and you can't rent a post office box because you don't have ID, or you have to have a street address to get a post office box. There's just a whole bunch of red tape involved in being homeless that I never thought about before, because it didn't apply to me until this past year. And I didn't know how to navigate through a lot of that stuff, and then how to get food stamps and how to get medical help. And I had to go to Grady because I'd always heard that if you're poor in Atlanta, that's where you're supposed to go. And, I admit they did help me a lot down there. And I continue to go when I can, but sometimes I don't have bus fare to get there, so that leaves me out. See, they help the Fulton County people. They'll come get you if you're in Fulton County. But if you're not, then you have to get your own way there. And that's another problem. If you're in the outlying counties and you want to go to Grady to get help, you can't, because they don't help you. There's no money available, I guess, or no way to get you a MARTA pass or anything. So you're just on your own. And I could have gone, but I didn't have bus fare to get there, so I had to cancel a few of my appointments that I really needed to go to. I'm a type 2 diabetic, and I have foot ulcers, and they're really bad. And at one point, they were talking about amputating my foot, but I battled that and was able to heal it somewhat. And I still have some issues, but I'm doing the best I can. So having the foot problems prevents me from doing a lot of walking and standing and stuff, and things that I would need to do if I had a job. So I did have a job at Walmart for a little while, and they decided they didn't want me around because I had too much medical issues. And I couldn't help it. I mean, I wasn't trying to stay out of work. It's just that, you know, if your job requires you to stand on your feet and your feet are in pain, then what are you going to do? And I had a hole in my foot. If you know, most people don't know what that is, but those ulcers are like a big blister, except they go really deep in your skin and they can go down to your bone. And that's where mine was in the bone. And they were so afraid that it was infected so bad that it was going to have to be amputated. So it was really serious, and I was in the hospital at Grady for a while dealing with it. But that was about a year ago when I found out that I was diabetic, and that was what the problem was with my feet, because I didn't know I was diabetic, and I thought that what I had was just blisters on my feet because I walked a lot and stood a lot, and I thought that that's what it was from. I didn't know what the seriousness of it. I just brushed it off because I'd never had any health problems before. But then being homeless exacerbates all of that, because I can't take insulin. I don't have anywhere to keep anything cold, and my diet is crazy. Whatever, some days I eat, some days I don't eat. Some days I have to eat stuff that I know I shouldn't eat because I'm diabetic, but I have to eat. And I can't control it the way I would like to. But I do have pills that I take, and that's the best they could give me, considering my situation, because I tried to explain to him I don't have any way to do the test strips. I don't have anywhere to keep anything, so it's just terrible. And I wish that I could do better with it, but I've lost some weight, and I used to be a 320-pound woman. And size-wise, that's like a lady size 28 dress, and in men's pants, I could wear a size 50, and I was about to bust out of that. And now I'm down to a 31 waist in men's. I don't know what I'd wear in women's, because I gave up on wearing it because my shape doesn't fit the hourglass figure, so the clothes just don't look right on me. I'm better off buying men's pants. If I had an hourglass figure, I would buy ladies, but it's just useless. But my health has taken a toll on me, and being homeless has really just made it a whole lot worse, because if you have a home to go to and a refrigerator and a stove and you can cook and all of that, you can take care of your health a whole lot better, and you can choose what you buy. And like, if you're on food stamps, they give you so little to survive on that it's just hard. And my son's a big eater, so he eats 3/4 of our food stamps budget, and I get about 1/4 of it for me. So, and that 1/4 that I get's not enough to buy the healthy stuff that I know I should eat, and plus I don't have anywhere to keep it, so I have to buy stuff that you, like canned stuff or stuff you eat right now, and there's no heat, no microwave, no stove, no way to cook anything, so you eat it cold. Or you let it warm up in the sun. That's about the truth of it. And so my diet is not the best, and sometimes I haven't had food stamps to spend on it, so I've just gone hungry and gotten, you know, scraps here and there from different places. But it takes its toll on your health. And when you're my age, you know, if I was 25, I probably would survive it a lot better. But when you get older, you have more medical issues, and it's just tough to deal with it. And it's aged me a lot, because from the time I was 50, I looked about 38 maybe. And I took a good hard look at myself in a bathroom mirror not too long ago, and I'm like, oh my God, I look like I'm 75. What happened? Just the last year and a half or so has changed me that much that I feel like I look that old. And I'm not gray yet, but my face is all wrinkled. I see things that I never saw before, and I'm like, my neck's all sunken in like an old lady, and I'm like, no, I used to look halfway decent, but now I'm looking old, and I can't fool anybody anymore. So it's just, my self-esteem's not all that great, because I don't like what I see in the mirror, even though I've lost all this weight, and I told myself, oh, you're going to look great when you lose the weight, because at 300 pounds, I look terrible. But when I lost all the weight, I still didn't look good. It didn't help me any. Didn't make me feel any better. I mean, yeah, I could walk and do things because I had less weight to carry, but just didn't make me feel any better about myself like I thought it would. So, and yeah, and then on top of that, being homeless and not knowing where you're going to stay, and I've been kicked out of some places and finally found an abandoned building to live in, but the cops came by there to run me out because they said that they can't have homeless people hanging around, and they tried to say that it was a health hazard or something for that building because it was in disrepair and all of that. And I'm like, well, you know, it's better to be under an awning and out of the weather than it is to be out in the middle of nowhere. And they were just trying to say, well, you need to move on. And they threatened me and said they were coming back in an hour. If I wasn't out of there, they were going to lock me up for trespassing, which never took place. But I took my son and we went to Wendy's to hang out and let it blow over, because the place where we are, cars are restricted from coming there because there's a church and they lock the gates. So the only time anybody can get back there is if they're having a church service. And this building that we're in is in the back of the church property, and you have to go through a long parking lot and with a bunch of weeds to get to it. So most people would take one look at it and think it's too creepy to even try to go back there, so they won't even chance it. And we're around the corner so nobody can see us, and we're not by the road or anything, so we're just out of harm's way, and we got privacy, and only thing we don't have is a good way to block all the wind and to stay out of the cold. But you know, we were there when it was warmer weather, so it wasn't so bad. It was just the rain that we had to worry about. And there was a little flooding. We were there when that tropical storm came through, and it flooded out. And fortunately, where we were didn't get very much flooding, but we were able to manage. But it could have been so much worse, and a big tree fell, but it wasn't on us. So we got lucky with that. But the owner, according to this police officer that I talked to, the owner of the building has known for years that he needed to fix the building, and they've threatened him several times, and they said, look, we're going to condemn the property, and we're going to take it for the city if you don't fix it. And he hasn't done anything. I don't know how many years they warned him, but the building looks like it's been there since the 80s. So it is kind of rickety. But, you know, at least it's a little bit of a roof over our heads, and we're out of the harm's way. Nobody knows we're back there, and we sneak in and sneak out, and we live the best we can. And I have a Walmart that's close by, so I can go get some groceries and bring stuff back, and we eat and in peace. It's just that we can't cook anything, so it has to be stuff that doesn't need to be cooked. It's a long time since I had a hot meal. Today I had one. I got to eat Chinese food today, and I hadn't had that in ages. But the kind of stuff we have to eat is cold cuts and hot dogs and potted meat, or, you know, lunch meat, whatever. Things in a can, and that's about the extent of it. And none of that's really healthy. But that's what we're forced to eat. And I miss the days where I got up on Saturday morning and cooked breakfast every morning, you know, biscuit and gravy like my grandmother, and bacon. And I haven't had that in ages. I made homemade biscuits and homemade gravy like the country way. And I don't get to eat that anymore. But I'm lucky to still be here, I guess, after all we've been through. But I've been a fighter and trying to stay together because of my son, because he's not quite old enough to be on his own yet. He's about 15 and a half, so he can't really work. Nobody's going to hire him until he's 16. But hopefully that'll solve a little bit of our problem if I can get him to go to work this coming summer. And at least we'll have a little bit of income there if I can't get anything, because I'm having trouble. Nobody wants to hire me. And I feel like I still have something to contribute, but it's just my age and my health issues that make people scared of me, I guess. And because when you look at me, I guess I look homeless. I can't pretend and fool anybody anymore. I look a little bit too rough around the edges. And for men, it's not such a big deal, but ladies, we gotta have our nails done and makeup and our hair fixed. And if you don't have those things, then they know something's up with you. And I can't really hide that I can't, you know, get a manicure. My hands look terrible, my face, no makeup, and my hair hadn't been cut in over a year. And I've trimmed it myself a little bit, but I butchered it all up. So I just can't fool people with the way I look anymore. So when you go for an interview, if you get that far, they don't even talk to you because you look ugly. And with women, unfortunately, it's about how you look. They don't care what kind of job you had. They just want to know what you look like. But I worked in customer service for years and talked to a lot of people. And I like people. That's just me. I'm friendly and easy to get along with, pretty much. Yeah, I guess that's enough. I'll talk to you from now on if you let me. But that's a long story. And I'm still here.
Dee, of all of the things that you've accomplished or overcome in your life so far, what are you most proud of?
That I have a son. Because I was told that I would never, ever be able to have children in my early 20s. And I gave birth to a child at age 41, so it was pretty much a miracle. I didn't believe it was ever going to happen to me, but it did. And I'm thankful that I have a child to raise, and even though I'm a little older, and you know, it's a little bit harder of a road to go when you're my age, but it's worth it all. I wouldn't take nothing for my kid.
Dee, you've gained a lot of hard-fought wisdom from experiences in your life so far. If you were invited to share your wisdom with school kids in your community, giving them guidance to live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives, what would you tell them?
From my own experience, I wish that I had followed more of my dreams, what I wanted to do when I was in high school, and thought more about my career and what kind of life I was going to have, and planned that out a little bit better instead of just taking it the way it comes. Because I think I made some mistakes along the way because of different things, and you know, I should have had more goals and more plans about how to get where I was going, and I let a lot of that go by the wayside, and I just worked a job. I mean, yeah, I worked my way up and I made good money, and I'm not complaining about that, but I just wish that I had thought more seriously about a career when I was younger, and I would tell kids today to think more about that instead of, you know, when you get a little older, you and you've made some money, you got more time to think about what makes you happy. But in the beginning, you probably are better off to think about what's good for your career. And that's the wisdom I have about it. That's what I'm telling my son, because he wants to go into graphic design, and I told him that's going to pay his bills, and he really likes it, which is great, but not everybody can find that job that they like and that pays the bills. Because sometimes the job you like just doesn't pay the bills. And sometimes the job you hate pays the bills. So you have to figure it all out. But it's in your early years, it's better to go with something that can help pay your bills and you can save money. And then when you get a little older, you can do more of what you like to do.
Dee, I'd like to switch to the present day. In what ways would you say that your life is going well these days? Please talk a little bit about how life is good for you at the present time.
Oh, that's a tough one, because I don't know. I don't see a lot of good. I'm happy to be alive. I mean, I get up every morning thankful that I'm still here, that I survived over the night, because it's been really tough this past year and some of the things I've experienced. But I don't really feel like I have a lot to be happy about, because it's just my life is not where I thought I was going to be at this age. But I guess it's good that I've got room. You know, I'm still here. There's still hope. There's still a chance to do something. So I'm just, you know, basically in hang on mode until I figure out what the next step's going to be. And I guess that's about as positive as I can be about that, because it's tough to be in the homeless situation and have hope at the same time, because all you see is negative things around you. But I'm still here and I'm still trying. I've got plenty of room to grow. I'm not kicking the bucket yet. And I have a grandmother that lived to be up in her 90s, so I'm hoping that I get some of that too. She was 94 when she passed, and she'd tell you in a heartbeat that she wasn't old. The only thing that got her was she got congestive heart failure, but she was never sick until she got up in her 90s.
So Dee, I understand what you just said, but I did also hear in your response, you talked about still growing, having hope.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were telling your story, I also heard a great deal of resilience and really positive mindset. What led to that? What led to those parts of your life going well? How did that happen? Who or what has contributed most to your doing well these days in the way that you just mentioned?
Well, it's a choice. I choose to keep going. I mean, it's really a struggle. It's really hard, but you know, I've got a son to raise, and so I can't sit back and just let it all go to hell, because it's not just about me anymore. It's about my kid, and I've got to do the best thing I can for him until he's grown and can make his own choices. But that's part of the motivation for me, is because I'm trying to keep it together for him. But I'm just a strong person. I've always been that way. And I saw a lot of that in my grandmother. She was a little bitty short redheaded woman, and she was feisty as everything. And even, like I said, at 90 years old, she was still feisty. And I'm like, that's who I want to be in life. If I get to live that long, I want to be like her. Because she wasn't dependent on people. She did her own thing pretty much. And I had to take the car keys away from her finally when she was 90. I had to tell her to quit driving because she had a wreck. But, you know, that's the kind of life I envision for myself, that I hope I can still be independent and still keep going, keep my mind together and be strong. And it's kind of like, you know, it's not really I just have to do it because I got a kid now and I have to do that for him. And then, you know, that's how I see it.
Dee, looking ahead now, when it comes to living a healthy, safe, stable, and happy life, what are your hopes and dreams looking ahead?
Well, the next few years with me and my son, but he's planning to move to Florida when he's grown, and he's wanting to go to college down there. So I don't know what that's going to entail for me, if I want to follow him and, you know, provide a home for him, or if I want to let him go on his own and do his own thing and then me do my own thing. I'm still not sure about all of that yet. But I'm hopeful and positive that it's all going to go right and whatever happens is going to be good. But, you know, just looking at my current situation, like right now, you know, I got up this morning and it was 50 degrees outside and I was shivering, and I'm sitting over there in a camping chair freezing to death, don't have a bed, don't have anything, and I'm looking out and there's a mother raccoon with two babies sitting there. So that's that was my morning this morning. But yeah, I want things to go well, but it's like part of me still is reserved about it and thinking, well, you know, it could go horribly wrong. I don't know, but I'm just trying the best as I can to stay positive about what's going to happen. And so far, I've survived things that maybe some people would say I could never do that. And probably a couple of years ago, I might have said I could never do that. I don't know. But when you're thrown into stuff, you sink or swim, basically. You got to figure it out for yourself. And I found out that I'm a little tougher than I even thought I was. And I kicked out, I had to be harassed by a homeless guy one time. And so I had to really get tough and keep him away from my kid and get him the heck out of my way. And I know it was funny because he was actually scared of this little, I'm short, I'm really short, like 5'3", and he was like 6 foot, but I was angry and yelling at him and making him go away because he was crazy, and I was afraid he was going to harm me and my child, and I'm like, I'm not having it, get out of here, and he went, thank God. But I was not at the place that I'm at now. I was in a different location then, so it was a little bit rougher. It was in East Point.
You've already taken a good path to answering this next question, namely, what are some of the personal strengths you draw on as you pursue your hopes and dreams?
Yeah, mostly it's my son has gave me a lot of strength to get through things, because I'm thinking of, you know, he's looking to me to be an example. And, you know, I have to do the right thing and be a good person and let him see that. And, you know, of course, he sees the struggles too, because he's seen me cry. He's seen me get upset about things and yell about things. He's seen the whole nine yards. But, you know, he's the main reason that I keep going, because, you know, if it was just me, I don't know. I'm thinking maybe if it was just me, I might give up. I don't know. Because I wouldn't have any reason to keep going if it was just me. My grandmother was a big influence in my life, and she passed, and my dad passed, and my mother and I don't get along. She's still alive, but she favors my brother, and my brother and I don't get along. So I don't really have any family to speak of, because all the ones that I was close to are gone. So I have to be tough for that, because I don't have anybody to turn to. I have to find the strength, whatever it is. But I miss the days when I could go to my grandmother for advice and ask her about different things, or talk to my dad about things he experienced. But neither one of them are here, so I can't talk to them now.
Dee, what are the challenges and obstacles that you see standing between you and the realization of your hopes and dreams? What holds you back?
Right now it's my medical issues, because I have trouble finding work, and I'm still not old enough to officially retire, although I wish I could. But, you know, it's possible that I could maybe get disability, but that's a long, hard road too. And so without that, I'm going to have to work, and I, you know, try to go find jobs and get turned down, and it's just, that's the thing that's keeping me, because, you know, it's all about money, basically. If you don't have money, you can't live, and you got to find a way to pay for things, and if I don't have a job, then I'm not able to pay for anything, and I wasn't married, so I don't get any alimony or anything, and my ex was not able to pay child support because he's not legal. So there's no money for anything. It's just all on me. And if I don't work or whatever, then I'm just without. And that's tough. So I feel like, you know, if I had some kind of income, then I could make a go of it, because I'm not crazy about spending money. I save and scrape by and do whatever I have to do. I eat ramen noodles and peanut butter and whatever else, you know. I'm not that picky. But when I made good money, I used to eat steak and lobster and everything, and then I think about all that and all this money that I wasted living that way. But I didn't have a kid then either. It was just me. And I made good money, so I didn't really feel guilty about it. It was just, that was my life. But now I see how crazy that seems, and I'm like, I could have eaten a lot less and saved a lot more money, but a lot of things are hindsight.
Dee, what needs to be done so that the challenges and obstacles you just mentioned can be overcome and you can realize your personal hopes and dreams?
I have to find some source of income, whatever it may be, I'm not sure. But there's got to be some way for me to provide, because, you know, at least for the next 3 years until my son's grown, I've got to figure out what to do. In my original plan, I had thought I was going to retire at 62. And then it just didn't work out that way. But that's basically it. I got to find some source of income to keep going, and because otherwise I'm still going to be sleeping outside, because if you don't have money, you can't pay for your rent, you can't buy your groceries, you can't do anything. So that's basically it. And it's not just for me, I've got two people to provide for, so that means I need a lot more money. Because I can live frugally myself, and I could probably get into some senior citizen home if I didn't have a child. But that just kind of ruins all of that. But I do get food stamps, at least, so that helps with my food budget. But it's not a whole lot, because like I said, my kid eats 3/4 of that. and he'd eat the whole thing if I'd let him. So... But yeah, I've got to find a way, some source of income somewhere, and be creative or whatever. And I don't know what to do. I really don't. But I know there's probably some talent or some ability that I have that I could probably make money with. I don't know what it is.
Dee, imagine that you're a powerful leader. Imagine yourself as a decision maker who can really make things happen. How would you change the system to help people in your community realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives?
Well, I'm speaking from just the homeless community, I would say that people need to be aware of it and know that what they can do to help. Because there are people, I've had people that have been willing to help me, but you just have to realize what the problems are for the homeless community and figure out what you can do to help with that. And I guess part of it would be trying to see them as people instead of people that you try to run from. Because there's, you know, so many people that don't want to be around homeless people, and they don't want them in their community. And, you know, I've experienced that currently in my own location where I live. So I would want to change that instead of trying to tell the police to move them out and be mean to them and, you know, arrest them and things like that, to making it a crime. I would say, no, do something about it, and even involve, like, the community itself. And there's people that might be willing to donate clothes and food and things. Just find a way to reach out to people and in need. And you never know, you know, these people that you're trying to help as homeless, you might be in need one day. You never know, because like I would have said when I was 20 years old that I was never going to be in this situation. So you don't know what your life is going to be. In 10, 15, 20, 30 years down the road, things may change for you. And so you shouldn't be so inconsiderate of other people. You should try to help. And I would want to, you know, let the community know that there's things that we can do to help with homelessness, like provide a place, a shelter, like a warming shelter for the cold nights, and a place for them to go so they won't be harassed by the cops or whoever. I was harassed by code enforcement and the cops. And, you know, I said, look, this is my community. I grew up here and I went to college here. Why are you so mean? Why do you have to be like that? So that would be to try to change the perception of law enforcement and government and whatever, to instead of trying to persecute people and make it a crime, to try to help them. And that's what I'd want to do with it, because I think they deserve help. And even if they have mental issues, they can still be helped. You shouldn't just write them off because, you know, well, he's crazy, who cares about him? But no, I mean, there's some help there that can, you know, they need medical attention or whatever, they need some kind of service, and that can be provided. So you don't just write people off because they're homeless.
Dee, imagine you had $1 million to spend to help your community realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives. How exactly would you spend that money?
Well, I had an idea that I wanted to start a homeless shelter for families, because I experienced so much rejection with me and my child that we couldn't stay together, and so many places told us, well, they don't have a place for us, and so forth, and because he aged out of the system, or because he's male, and all these excuses. I'd be a place that didn't have excuses. And I'd say, well, you know, if you're a family and you want to stay together, we'll help you. And even if it's just a warming shelter situation and not a full shelter, at least it would be something that we could do to help people. Because I myself experienced having to get a free MARTA pass and get on a train and ride the train all day just to stay warm. Because the shelter I was in kicked us out, and they gave us a one-way pass on MARTA. And so that was all we could do, is get on a train and get on a bus and then go to the train station and ride all day. And that was it, because there was no way to keep warm. And at least we were on there, we were warm, and we had internet. So that was the only way we survived this past winter, because we were in and out of so many shelters, and they have such a short length of time. And I feel like there is a need for that, and that'd be what I'd want to do with it, is try to find a way to help people in this situation. And I know that in Clayton County specifically, there's just not any help for that. There's just very few shelters at all, and there just seems to be a need for that here. And as the population has changed, there's more people that need that kind of help, and we should be able to do that. And I'd like to, if I had that kind of money. I thought the abandoned building where I was, I'd like to turn that into a shelter. That would be great. But they're about to condemn it, so there's nothing I can do with it. But that was my idea for it. And I wouldn't turn people away because you have a son who's 15 and that kind of thing. I'd be willing to work with families in that situation that want to stay together. because I understand how important that is. I don't have a husband, so I need to be with my child, and I wouldn't want to be split up from him for nothing. And so these shelters just have no heart, and they think that it's okay to split families up, and I don't see it that way. And plus, another rant that I have about it is the religious angle about trying to tell people what religion to follow, and if you don't follow our religion, we don't let you in. I'm like, if you're getting government money to help you, then you need to not do all of that, and you accept whoever. And if you really want to be biblical about it, God didn't say that he hated people. I get sick of that. He said he even loved the sinners. So where these Christians get off telling people you can't stay in a shelter if you don't go to our church and, you know, read our books of the Bible or whatever. I mean, you know, I don't see it that way. If I had my money, I'd make it wherever. And I wouldn't have those kind of restrictions on it, because people need help no matter where they are.